Chapter 5, A New Hero. Mr. Pendrick believed in long walks. One of his favorite sayings was, "Take a walk and clear your head." Skye figured that's why he had sent her on a walk with Jane, Jeffrey, and Batty while he and Rosalind aired out the kitchen. For Skye to clear her head, and maybe too for Skye and Jeffrey to clear the air between them. Not that Skye hadn't already apologized for calling Jeffrey rich and stuck up, and not that Jeffrey hadn't said that she was right. Forget about it. But that was as far as they had gotten, conversationally, and since then they had barely looked at each other. So, here was Skye, slogging along behind Jeffrey and Jane, listening to them gab on and like old friends. It was enough to make a person sick. Of course Skye wasn't jealous, and she didn't wish anyone would pay attention to her or anything. It was just such a waste of time being with people who talked about boring stuff. Jeffrey was taking them to see something special, or so he had told Jane. He led them across the cottage grounds, away from the hedge and toward the high stone wall that marked the other boundary line. Once they reached the wall, they turned to the left and followed it for another 100 yards until they came to a wooden gate, where Jeffrey called a halt. The gate was almost as high as the wall, much too high to see over, but there were knot holes in the wood. Jeffrey told Jane to put her eye to one of these knot holes and look through to the other side. "It's just a field," said Jane. "There should be a bull over there," said Jeffrey. "Nope, no bull. Let me look." Jane moved aside to make room for Jeffrey. "You're right. I don't see him either," he said. "He must be in the barn today." Skye tapped her foot impatiently. The truth was, she thought there was no bull. That boy was just trying to impress Jane. "He's gored a man right in this very field," said Jeffrey, looking back at Jane. "Oh," gasped Jane, "did the man die?" "Almost." If Jeffrey heard Skye's scornful snort, he didn't let on. "Cagney told me all about it. The man's guts fell out of his stomach, and it took the doctors to stitch him up again. Some people signed a petition to have the bull shot, but the police said it was the man's own fault because he was trespassing in the bull's field. I feel sorry for the man, but just the same, it would be awful to be shot," said Jane. "Besides, Cagney says the bull's more dumb than mean. It's not right to shoot someone because they're not intelligent," said Jeffrey. "He could be hiding in a corner." Jane looked around the gate again. The knot hole was too small to give much of a view. "There's a ladder in the wall farther down. We could climb it and look over the top," Jeffrey said. He turned and looked at Skye. "Do you want to come?" Skye didn't, but because she figured that Jeffrey didn't want her, she shrugged and said, "Sure, okay." So off they went, Jane and Jeffrey talking, and Skye trailing behind, wishing she had never gone through that stupid tunnel and bumped into this jerky boy. "Stay close to your sisters," Rosalind had told Batty, and Batty had stayed pretty close while they were all walking. But when Jeffrey stopped at the gate, Batty drifted away and hid behind a bush. Not just because of Jeffrey and how he kept asking her questions about Hound. Nothing made Batty feel shyer than questions, but also because of the "leave me alone and I'll break your arm" look on Skye's face. Batty wouldn't have minded either of these things as much if Hound had been there to keep her company, but he would have had to be on a leash, and Hound thought being on a leash meant playing tug-of-war. Batty peeked out from behind the bush. Jeffrey and her sisters were leaving. She knew she should follow them, but first she wanted to see what was on the other side of the gate. She had been too far away to hear about the man-goring bull, she crept out from behind the bush and over to the gate and put her eye in the knot hole. What she saw was a field full of clover and daisies with a barn over on the other side. Now Batty knew all about horses and their needs. There was a horse from near the Penderick's home in Cameron, where Mr. Penderick often took Batty to feed carrots to her favorites, Eleanor and Franklin. So she knew a perfect field for horses when she saw one, and while she didn't see any actual horses through the knot hole, she figured that didn't mean there weren't any. They were probably hiding just out of her view. Horses could be shy, too. The gate was locked and too high to climb over. There was, however, a gap at the bottom, big enough to crawl through. Batty carefully wrapped her wings around her shoulders, flopped to the ground, and wiggled under the gate. Alas, no horses, not even a shy one. Batty looked this way and that, but she was alone, on that side of the wall. Oh, well, she'd pick daisies instead and take them back to Rosalind to make into a chain. She headed toward the largest clump of daisies and bent to her task. All was at peace while Batty picked flowers and hummed a song about kangaroos. Above, the birds whirred cheerfully around the sky. Below, the worms slid happily through the soil. In between, the summer breeze softly ruffled the clover and daisies. But soon, the peace was disturbed. Across the field from Batty, the barn door swung open. As it shoved by, something very strong. And here it came, strong, yes, and big and black. The king of the field, the bull, sauntered out into the sunshine and proudly surveyed his realm. Skye lagged as far behind Jane and Geoffrey as she could without being too obvious. By the time she finally bothered to catch up with them, Jane was already halfway up the ladder on the stone wall. Jane looked down at her and said, "Isn't Batty with you?" Skye had forgotten about Batty, but wouldn't admit it for the world. Watching over Batty was always the job of the OAP, or Oldest Available Penderick. And without Rosalind, Skye was definitely the OAP. "She was hiding behind a bush when we were at the gate," said Geoffrey. More showing off, thought Skye, who hadn't noticed Batty behind her bush. "Maybe I'll be able to spot her from up there," said Jane. Then clambered to the top of the ladder and hoisted herself onto the wall. "It's wide enough up here to walk." "Be careful," said Geoffrey. "It's a long drop." "I don't see Batty," said Jane, surveying the cottage side of the wall. "She probably went back to see Hound." Skye hoped it was so. As annoying as Batty could be, losing her altogether wouldn't be so terrific. "Maybe," said Jane doubtfully. "I'll go back to look for her," said Geoffrey. "I'll go with you in a minute. Just let me look for the bull." Jane turned around to look at the field. "Oh, there he is. He must have just come out of the barn." "Isn't he big?" said Geoffrey. "Huge." So there really was a bull, thought Skye, but she couldn't believe he was awful as Jane and Geoffrey were saying. It was probably a small bull, maybe even a fat old cow. She would go up and see for herself. But Geoffrey was in between Skye and the ladder, and she'd stand there all day rather than ask him to move. "Go on up and look," said Geoffrey, stepping out of Skye's way. "After you." She wasn't going to fall for his phony politeness. And then Jane started to scream. Batty was watching a purple and orange bug when Jane screamed. The bug had fallen off a daisy, and Batty had lain down on her stomach to make sure it landed safely. Batty recognized the scream as Jane's, and as Jane has a habit of screaming more often than Skye, for example, Batty wasn't worried. However, she did look up from the bug. A bull is so much larger than a bug that at first Batty didn't understand what she was seeing. She looked back down at the bug, who had been now safely scuttering away from the daisy stem, and then looked back up again, hoping the black monster would be gone. Not only was it still there, it had come a step closer. It was only 15 feet away. "Nice, horsey," said Batty hopefully. Now, this bull had never actually gored anyone. It was true that once a tourist had sneaked into the field and dropped his expensive camera in front of the bull, who quite rightly stepped on it and smashed it to pieces. But that hadn't been enough of a story for anyone. The first person who told it added a part about the bull scratching the tourist's leg, and the second person who told it turned the scratch into a gore, and so on, until by the time Cagney repeated the story to Jeffrey, the poor tourist had a gaping stomach wound. When Jeffrey told Jane, he hadn't exaggerated all that much, just changing one doctor to three. Nevertheless, gore or not, the bull was not sociable, and he particularly didn't like visitors laying in the middle of his favorite daisy patch. It was also possible that he didn't like being called a horsey, because now he shook his horns and stomped his feet at Batty. Batty knew this was no horse. She suddenly knew lots of things she hadn't known a minute ago, like she should never have gone under that gate alone, and she should never have disobeyed Rosalind, and she would be a good, dutiful child for the rest of her life if that terrible beast would just stay away from her. For now, she knew she'd better just lie very still and wish that Hound were there. And Daddy wouldn't let anything hurt her. Oh, Daddy, oh, Hound, oh, somebody, please help me. To Batty's very great relief, a moment later, help was on its way, heralded by the noises Jane was making as she ran at Olympian speed along the top of the wall toward the wooden gate. The noises weren't exactly shrieks or shouts either. They were more like the sound of a fire truck would make if it was trying to speak. It wasn't until Jane reached the gate and skidded to a halt, still on top of the wall, that anything she was saying made sense to Batty. "Bull, bull, up here, leave her alone." The bull swung around toward the wall, and Batty dared to raise her head and look at Jane, who was jumping up and down and waving her arms around like she was directing traffic. "Yeah, that's right, you mean old bull. Pick on somebody your own size," screeched Jane. Then Batty heard what she hoped was more help coming from the other side of the gate, though mostly it sounded like Skye and Jeffrey arguing with each other. A moment later, however, Jeffrey did slide under the gate with Skye right behind him. "Stay still, Batty. Rescue is nigh," yelled Jane. Nervously, wondering what nigh meant, Batty watched as Jeffrey and Skye raced across the field. They had split apart. Skye was coming toward Batty, and Jeffrey was heading straight to the bull. Jeffrey shouted, "Yah, yah, come at me, bull." Poor bull. He had simply wanted to quietly munch daisies in the sunshine, and now his private paradise was full of active and extremely noisy creatures. He hadn't the wits for it. He looked from Jane to Jeffrey to Skye and back to Batty, clearly deciding which to eliminate first. His deadly eyes fixed on the one closest to him, the one who had dared pick his daisies. He lowered his head and horns and began a lumbering march to Batty. Batty saw him coming. She made herself as flat as possible, almost a pancake, and then closed her eyes and wondered how much it would hurt. Next thing she knew, she was being lifted like a sack of flour and thrown across someone's shoulder. She opened her eyes. It was Skye. Skye had gotten to her before the bull. Now Jeffrey was shouting again, "Take that and that," and with each "that" came the sound of a small stone hitting the bull's hindquarters. Jeffrey was drawing the bull's attention to himself so that Sky could get away with Batty. And it was working. The bull was not going to put up with stones being thrown at him, no matter how small. He turned to face this new enemy. From the wall, Jane screamed, "Now, Sky, run!" Carrying Batty, Sky took off at a lopsided run, while the bull pawed the ground and lowered his gigantic head at Jeffrey. "Charge!" Batty had never had a hero outside her own family. She had always figured that her father and Rosalind were enough heroes for anyone. But as she bounced crazily up and down on Skye's shoulder during that wild run to safety, a new hero came into her life. She watched Jeffrey work that bull as though trained from birth as a toreador. This way and that he went, darting, weaving, spinning, jumping, always heading away from Skye and Batty. And the bull followed, frantic to rid himself of this exasperating intruder. Slam! Skye threw Batty to the ground and shoved her under the gate. As Skye started through after her, Jane howled at Jeffrey. "All in free, Jeffrey! Run for your life!" In the field, the final race began. Skye struggled to her feet and planted herself at the gate's knothole. Batty stayed on the ground and peered underneath. Jane kept to her perch on top of the wall. All three watched, terrified, as Jeffrey dashed toward them and the bull only yards behind him. "Oh, hurry, Jeffrey, run! Jeffrey, run!" came shrill from three throats. "Closer, closer, closer!" In one swift motion, Jeffrey was on the ground, under the gate, and up again. He and Skye each grabbed one of Batty's arms and lifted her up as Jane leapt off the wall. "Go," said Jeffrey, and they all took off just as the bull crashed his great horns into the gate. The gate shook on its hinges and the bull bellowed with rage, but nobody looked back. They never wanted to see that gate again. The children were halfway back to the cottage before they felt safe enough to stop. Skye called a halt and everyone collapsed, panting, under a tall pine tree. For a long time, there was only silence as people caught their breath and made sure they had all their arms and legs. Batty, perhaps unwisely, was the first to speak. "I left my daisies in the field," she said. Skye raised herself up with murder on her face. "Don't kill her now, just when we've got to all that trouble to rescue her," said Jeffrey. Skye said, "Batty, of all the stupid things you've ever said, that was the stupidest." "Why did you go into that field anyway?" said Jane. "I thought it would be horses," said Batty, checking her wings, which had torn in several places when Skye pushed her under the gate. "Well, it wasn't horses, you idiot. You almost got us all killed," says Skye. We would have been if it wasn't for Jeffrey," said Jane, while Jeffrey blushed and looked at the ground. "Jeffrey, you're a true hero." "Stop, Jane. It's up to me to thank him. I'm the OAP." Skye sat up and faced Jeffrey, who looked at the ground harder. "I thank you on behalf of the Penderick family. Even though I kicked you when you went under the gate before me, and even though I could have taunted the bull just as well as you." "Skye," said Jane. Skye took a few seconds to concentrate and then went on. "You were brave and intelligent, and you saved Batty's life." Here she took a great gulp of air and then rushed on. "I was a jerk before I apologized, and this is my real apology, because Rosalind and Jane wrote the first one." Skye stuck out her hand, and Jeffrey looked up from the ground and stuck out his hand, too, and they shook. Jane said, "Their hearts laid bare by the near loss of loved one, the two enemies declared a truce." "I want to shake his hand, too," said Batty. Jeffrey shook her hand and then Jane's hand for good measure. A crashing noise from a nearby tree made everyone jump. "Probably just a squirrel," said Jeffrey. "Just the same, do you think the bull could break down that gate?" said Jane. "No," said Skye, but she looked questioningly at Jeffrey. "No," he said positively. "Maybe Daddy should go make sure it's safe," said Batty. "Batty, no, you can't tell Daddy about the bull. You can't even tell Rosalind," said Skye. "Why not?" "Because they'll think Jane and I don't look after you properly." "You didn't." "Promise you won't tell," said Jane. "Can we do Penderick family honor?" said Batty. "That's just for the family." "Batty, you know that," said Skye, trying to point to Jeffrey without him noticing. Ever since Rosalind and Skye had made up the ceremony after reading a book about a family named Bastable, only Penderick sisters had done it or seen it done. "It's okay. I'll leave," said Jeffrey. "He doesn't have to leave. He saved my life," said Batty. "He's an honorary Penderick." "Honorary," corrected Jane. "What do you think?" Skye asked Jane. "What would Rosalind think?" Jane asked Skye. "Since it was a question of life and death, I think she'd agree," said Skye slowly. "All right, Jeffrey, you can stay and watch us do it, but you've got to promise you won't tell anybody, even Cagney." "Okay," said Jeffrey. "No, no, you've got to swear solemnly," said Jane. "I solemnly swear not to tell anyone about what you're about to do." "That's good enough," said Skye, making her hand into a fist and holding it out. "We, the three younger Penderick sisters, we'll never tell Daddy or Rosalind about Batty and the bull. We'll come up with a good story about how Batty's wings got torn, and although it will not be the strict truth, it will not be an evil lie, because Batty has learned her lesson and will never go into the bull's field again. Right, Batty?" "Right," said Batty. "Okay, I'm done," said Skye. Jane put her fist on top of Skye's, and Batty put hers on top of Jane's. "This I swear by the Penderick family honor." Suddenly, there came another crashing noise from nearby, and the children knew it was much too loud to be a squirrel. Once again, Batty was thrown onto someone's shoulders, this time Jeffrey's, and everyone took off running. Within seconds, the pine tree was deserted, so there was no one to see the large, black, terrifying, well, not terrifying, dog when he arrived a moment later. Mr. Penderick had been wrong about the latch on Hound's Gate. It wasn't dog-proof, or at least not hound-proof, and when the bull was chasing Batty, Hound had sensed her danger with his own peculiar brand of ESP and busted out of his pen. But where was Batty now? Hound sniffed around the pine tree, puzzled. She had just been here. He lifted his nose to the air and, aha, caught the scent. Relieved and faithful, through and through, Hound trotted away after Batty.